this in service of Israeli intelligence. They did this at the behest of the Mossad. And again, that's not only speculation. This is now confirmed. It's on the record, confirmed by former Israeli intelligence officials, as we were just going through. And so, in addition to all of the already vile, deplorable sexual assaults that this entire saga is mired with, we can see now that there is very clearly a political dimension to it as well. And the fact that the media won't talk about this and never tackle this angle, it really speaks volumes, right? Why do they refuse to talk about this? And how come, despite unsealing so many documents, the courts still continue to keep many of them under wraps? What are they hiding from us exactly? And what could be the other dark secrets in the spy world that we're yet to discover? Thanks for tuning in. I'm Richard Medhurst, and this is The Communique.
In the limelight.
The Zionist regime will not pursue a criminal investigation into the killing of Palestinian-American journalist Shirin Abu Aghila, whose death earlier this month sparked global outrage. Please stay with us for an article in this regard, written by Andrea Germanos, journalist. This article is published under the heading Zionist regime says no criminal probe into killing of journalist Shirin Abu Aghila. Stay tuned for more. The Zionist regime will not pursue a criminal investigation into the killing of Palestinian-American journalist Shirin Abu Aghila, whose death earlier this month sparked global outrage. The development was reported recently by both Haaretz and the Jerusalem Post, Zionist regime's newspapers. Abu Aghila, Al Jazeera's correspondent in Palestine, was fatally shot by a Zionist sniper in the head on May 11th. While covering an Israeli regime raid on the Jenin refugee camp in the occupied West Bank. She was wearing a helmet and press jacket. Witnesses say she was shot by an Israeli regime troop. In view of the nature of the operational activity, which included intense fighting and extensive exchanges of fire, it was decided that there was no need to open a military police investigation at this stage, according to a statement from the military provided to the Jerusalem Post. Israeli-based human rights organization B'Tselem suggested the announcement from the military police criminal investigation division should come as no surprise. B'Tselem tweeted, as B'Tselem has stated again and again, no one should wait for Israel's investigations nor accept that they will deliver justice for Palestinians. It is time for the world to finally wake up to this reality and take action. Anything else simply enables Israel's impunity. In a statement to Al Jazeera, Abu Aghila's family said, "We were expecting this from the Israeli side. We urge the United States in particular, since she is a U.S. citizen, and the international community to open a just and transparent investigation and to put an end to the killings," the family said. The Intercept reported recently that a pair of congressional Democrats, representatives Andre Carson of Indiana and Lou Correa of California, are gathering signatures for a letter demanding an FBI investigation into Abu Aghila's killing and a determination from the State Department as to whether U.S. laws were violated.
In
Days after Abu Aghla's death, global outrage erupted after footage showed the Zionist regime forces attacking the pallbearers of her coffin during the funeral procession. The footage of that violence was shocking, said United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights Michelle Bachelet, who called for accountability for the terrible killing, not just of Shirin Abu Aghla, but for all the killings and serious injuries in the occupied Palestinian territory. A group of leading artists similarly called recently for full accountability for the perpetrators of Abu Aghla's death and everyone involved in authorizing it. In an open letter, figures including Spanish film director Pedro Almodovar, Indian author Aranti Roy, Canadian author Naomi Klein, and the U.S. actor Mark Ruffalo write, "We call on our governments to end hypocrisy and to act with consistency in the application of international law and human rights. We call on them to take meaningful measures to ensure accountability for the killing of Shirin Abu Aghla and all other Palestinian civilians." They add, "There must be no double standards when it comes to the basic human rights to freedom from persecution and oppression and in the right to life and to dignity."
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. One of the issues that we discuss and we look at when we talk about human rights is the fact, or if I can call it, human dignity. A human dignity is part and parcel of the human himself. And sometimes everything else that we have, in fact, revolves around the dignity of the human being himself. So when we look at, for example, his right to live, his right to sustain himself, his right to safety, his right to education, his right to Medicare, his right to a lot of things, they directly or indirectly revolves around the human dignity. So when we look at dignity itself, we ask the question, is it a God-given right, or even is it a God-given concept to begin with? Or is it something that it is within the human being himself? Or is it something that human beings have created? I mean, is it a concept that I and you have come up with and we called it a human dignity? And is it available to everybody? Or is it only, you know, for the few, for the minority? There are those who keep and maintain or even have dignity while the rest don't. So these are the questions that we need to ask and try to understand. So today, shortly, I want to touch upon this topic, and maybe in other episodes we could also talk about it. It's just natural that we have to agree and submit to the fact that human beings, they have dignity, and it affects everything around them. To make this clearer, when we talk about dignity, is that sometimes when we see someone in need and we try to give him charity or we try to help him out, sometimes we do it in a way where he feels insulted, where he feels he's being at least looked down upon, where he feels that he's a lower class or he is somebody at least unwanted. So then he refuses to accept because his dignity is at stake. So for example, when a person came to Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam and asked for help, and Amir al-Mu'mineen gave him some money, but he did not want to see the man, so he gave him the money from behind the door kind of thing. And when they asked, he said, "I was trying to save his face value, which is his dignity." Or when a man came to Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam and he asked for help, and the Imam Hassan gave him, he sent his servant and he said, "Give him this." When he took the money, he said to the servant, he said, "Is this how much my dignity worth?" So Imam Hassan alayhi salam, then again, he said, "Give the man even more," because obviously his dignity worth more than that. So you can see that everything that we deal with, our dignity comes in between. So it is not something that I or you can create or can have and not have at times. It is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And therefore, we need this dignity to be preserved, not to be violated. Because if we look at our modern world, we see many humans and many people around the world where the dignity has been taken and they've been deprived of it. Now, let us take a short break and then we come back and continue.
Dear listeners, you're listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program For Humanity, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. When we look at the Islamic teachings, we see that it emphasized on the fact that a human dignity need to be preserved. In the sense that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the human being himself and glorified him and honored him above all other creatures. And why is that? Because he has the ability to go through the stages of perfection. From harvesting his inner self and maintaining his inner innate, as we call it in Arabic, fitra. When a person tries to work on himself and try to preserve his inner innate and his essence, then he can move forward to stages of perfection. Therefore, when it comes to his dignity, it is part and parcel of his essence. When that is attacked, then obviously that will hinder and stops the progress towards perfection. And when you look at the ayat and the narrations of the Quran and the teachings of Islam, you see that there is no differences between men and men in this regard as well. They're all treated equally. So humanity is the essence, and people share that, be it men or women. From here, we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he talks about human beings, and when he talks about their dignity, and when he talks about their rights, this is one of the things that needs to be maintained. Now, inshallah, in future episodes, we will talk more about this concept from the words of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, and how they look at dignity as a part of the human being that should not be harmed or hurt or abused or violated verbally or physically. Because when I and you interact with one another, we are not just interacting with the body or with what you see. In fact, there's an inner self, or as we call it, the soul, that feels all these things. So when a person swears at me, for example, or curses me, or curses me, for example, I feel hurt. I feel I have been violated. And that feeling is when my dignity is under attack. So among the things that we have to consider when we look at dignity, or at least when we look at human rights, is the fact dignity should be more looked at and more taken into perspective and not to be neglected. Because like I said, that we human beings, we deal with each other based on our values. So the inner values, not the outer values. And everything that is external that we deal with, in fact, it has a direct impact on ourselves. So when I deprive a person of his right, in doesn't matter in what area it is, it is in fact, it is a violation against his dignity, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved for the believers. We see that in many narrations that says, you can commit such a sin and such a sin and such a sin. And, you know, in the hadith, the narrations of the Ahl Bayt, sometimes they mention sins that are very hard to grasp. They said even if these sins are committed in the Kaaba, they are still less than hurting a believing man or woman and attacking their dignity. So you could commit all these sins, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will overlook them. But when you attack a person, and that attack is a personal attack, and he feels hurt by it, then we have a problem. We'll leave it here, and inshallah we will continue in other episodes. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi.
Food for thought.
Salam, friends, and let us reflect on some wise words from the paragon of virtue, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him. The believers should not dishonor, betray, accuse, disappoint, or disavow each other.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Persian fallow deer is a unique but endangered species known for its sleek and spotted body. In this report, our correspondent Youssef Jalali takes us on a quick tour around one of the world's few protected shelters of Persian fallow deer in Iran's city of Sari.
We had to keep quiet and avoid making any sounds to film them, as they are shy and swift, and the slightest sound could send them sprinting and jumping away. Over 60 Persian fallow deer roam in Dashtinaz Wildlife Refuge in Iran's northern city of Sari. The endangered species is carefully protected here to be safe from predators and poachers.
The Persian fallow deer is native to Iran's Khuzestan province, but due to loss of habitat and threats posed to them by predators such as jackals and wild cats, they are endangered and need to be protected in semi-natural refuges like this one.
Persian fallow deer are mainly indigenous to open woodland areas spanning from East Mediterranean coasts to West and Southwest Iran. By 1875, they had gone extinct in all of their main habitats, except in southwest Iran. After a captive breeding program, the population has rebounded from only a handful of deer in the 1960s to over 200 individuals in Iran.
Dashtinaz Wildlife Refuge is 55 hectares wide. It was introduced in 1962 as a shelter for the Persian fallow deer when the species was on the brink of extinction. At that time, 5 deer were captured and translocated to this refuge. Over the past 6 decades, their number have been multiplied through captive breeding.
The Persian fallow deer is a rare ruminant mammal belonging to the family Cervidae. They're physically larger than other fallow deer, and their antlers are bigger and less palmate. Their special beauty has turned this sanctuary into a hot tourist attraction in Iran's north.
This sanctuary is a tourist destination for visitors who would like to see the Hyrkanian forests in Iran's north and at the same time enjoy the wildlife and learn about efforts made to save the Persian fallow deer from extinction.
In 2015, the Persian fallow deer was registered in the IUCN Red List of Threatened Species. Dashtinaz authorities hope through continued captive breeding, the population of these special creatures will soon reach the desired number, and hopefully they will be reintroduced to their natural habitat in southwest Iran.
While they live far from their original habitat, these alluring creatures feel at home here, where they will be safe from the dangers lurking outside, which may lead to their extinction. So here, Persian fallow deer continue to embellish the nature and charm visitors with their beauty. Yusuf Jalali from Dashtinaz Wildlife Refuge in Sari.
A print art exhibition chronicling nearly a century's worth of artistic achievements by a Chinese woodcarver has been unveiled in the city of Suzhou near Shanghai. The Carved Into Wood exhibit features nearly 80 of Huang Yongyu's woodblocks and prints. Woodblock printing is a form of Chinese art dating back hundreds of years. In this form, patterns are carved out of thick sheets of wood to create a type of multi-layered surface. The ink is applied in various stages to print the image and its colors. The humble 98-year-old artist said during his years of practicing art, he learned that sincerity mattered more than technique. The exhibition was launched in collaboration between Suzhou Museum and the Beijing Fine Art Academy.
The lush green oasis near Sudan's capital, Khartoum, has turned into a haven for dozens of exotic bears from all over the world. The sanctuary shelters over 100 bears of 13 different species. Here, visitors can feed lovebirds, parakeets, rosella bears, and many more. The owner of the sanctuary says he trained the bears over the years to make them human-friendly. Akram Yahia says he has a passion for bears and enjoys it when people come around to see the sanctuary. The sanctuary, which is part of the Marshall Nature Reserve, is a welcome break for the people from their hectic life in Khartoum and nearby cities.
He tried to create an environment that doesn't exist in Khartoum. These environments exist in other parts of Sudan, such as in the west of Sudan, in the east of Sudan, in rainy areas. These areas have environments such as this one, and perhaps even more beautiful. He created this environment in Khartoum, where there is not nature at all.
Domestic and foreign tourists are allowed there only 2 to 3 hours a day. The limited hours are so that the bears' living environment is not disturbed. The owner built the 400-square-meter sanctuary 4 years ago. Over the years, he has added trees, garden, pond, and mist nozzles for cooling off against Sudan's scorching heat. Yahia says he wants to expand the reserve in the future. Indonesians have held a dazzling event to celebrate Vesak, a day traditionally observed by Buddhists in South Asia and Southeast Asia. People gathered at the sprawling Borobudur Temple in central Java and released lanterns into the sky. That's part of prayers marking the birth, enlightenment and death of Buddha, a spiritual teacher who lived during the 6th century BC. The release of lanterns symbolizes letting go of negativity. The occasion lasts 3 days, which includes collecting holy water, sending off lanterns, and meditation. This year, the event was limited to some 1,200 people because of the coronavirus risk. Because of the outbreak of the pandemic, the ceremonies typically receive 20,000 people at the massive temple complex.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Tehran is hosting the 33rd International Book Fair in person for the first time after 2 years of lockdown as a result of COVID-19. This has caused enthusiasts to visit the fair for new titles. Saman Kujuri has the story.
The 33rd Tehran International Book Fair is underway in the Iranian capital, with over 1,700 Iranian as well as 170 foreign publishers attending the event. It is the first time after 2 years of lockdown as a result of the COVID-19 that the Tehran International Book Fair is being held both in person and online. As the top Iranian book event, the fair has millions of visitors every year, including thousands of university students, scholars, and their families.
I'm very happy to see that the book fair has once again opened its doors to the visitors in person after 2 years of lockdown as a result of the COVID-19. I love reading books. To me, the Tehran Book Fair is my favorite event.
For me, the book fair is an opportunity to get my kids familiar with books. I try to take them to different book fairs so as to teach them that book is a necessity in our life. I want to raise my children with the love for book reading.
A huge number of national visitors, along with international exhibitors from different countries, make this event one of the unique cultural events. The book fair is a good opportunity for publishers to showcase their new products.
We have designed our educational books based on augmented reality, which is an interactive experience of a real-world environment where the objects that reside in the real world are enhanced by computer-generated perceptual information, and students can watch educational films related to any specific topic. It will help students better understand educational topics.
It is said that books give a soul to the universe, wings to the mind, flight to the imagination, and life to everything. And this is exactly what the book fair tries to help you achieve.
By reading books, we feel healthy is the motto of the 33rd edition of the Tehran International Book Fair, which will be running through May 21st at Imam Khomeini's Musalla. Saman Kujuri, Tehran.
A group of over a dozen penguins has been released back to the sea after being given a second chance to live.
The condition of these specimens, which fortunately could be reinserted, is very calm to find. They are animals that appear stranded on the coast, found with malnutrition, dehydration, hypothermia, and a high degree of parasitism. Specialists call this condition the stranded penguin syndrome.
The penguins were rescued and taken to the Mondo Marino Foundation, where they were rehabilitated. They were kept warm and were fed liquids until they could eat fish again. Before their release, blood and other samples were taken, and a chip was implanted to track them. One of the penguins was a southern rockhopper, which is a species listed as endangered. Biologists at a rescue center say there are many reasons why penguins get stranded and malnourished. These include overfishing, global warming, and other environmental changes. Thousands of people crowd into the British city of Norwich to watch a 2-kilometer-long string of dominoes topple, while winding through town. Some 7,500 breeze blocks were set up for the event. The dominoes slinged through street buildings, windows, and even climbed up stairs and trees. The toppling lasted 30 minutes. The moving sculpture was installed across the city with the help of some 200 volunteers. The artistic director said the work was chosen partly because it was a spectacle and both disrupted the city and engaged its people.
There's a sense of anticipation that goes with the work. You would have seen people around town at the moment. Everybody's asking, what's going on? And then when they realise what it is, then there's this sense of, oh, and when are you going to knock it over? So that it's a sculpture also that gets destroyed in many ways, and that's really part of the work as well. I mean, I like to think about it as a child almost playing with the city. You know, they're setting everything up, and we all know they're going to knock it down at some point, and that's fun.
Daniel Bryan said he was excited about the project because it looked like a child had taken over the city with the joy of knocking down dominoes. The cascading dominoes ran through two cities, eventually ending at the site of Norfolk and Norwich Festival of Arts. The organizers say the goal of the installation was to bring unity to the community. Chilean paleontologists unearthed a rare, fully intact fossil of what is known as a sea dragon discovered from a melting glacier deep in Patagonia.
It is the first complete and excavated ichthyosaur that has been found in Chile. It also corresponds to one of the most complete fossils ever found on the planet for the Cretaceous period. It is the only pregnant ichthyosaur that's been found on the planet from the era between 129 and 139 million years ago. So it's incredibly important.
The 4-meter-long fossil is nicknamed Fiona and swam the seas some 250 million years ago. Scientists say this specimen will help them understand this species and its embryonic development. The expedition lasted over a month because of the remote nature of the find in the Patagonian glaciers. Paleontologists had to make a 10-hour hike just to get to the site. They also had to camp in extreme weather conditions while maneuvering tricky, rocky surfaces. But collecting and transporting the fossil was a whole other story.
As we went down excavating, weakening the rock, we realized the skeleton was mostly complete, so much that the bones were pushed inwards and we had to make 5 blocks of approximately 200 kilos each to move it.
The blocks were then airlifted to the Rio Seco Natural History Museum in southern Chile to be prepared for exhibition. The fossil was first discovered by Ruth Pedro more than a decade ago, but because of the site's harsh terrain, its extraction was a complex challenge. Scientists also discovered over 20 other specimens of the same species during the expedition, bringing the total found in the glacier area to 100.
Stopping by and listening to street musicians usually changes our mood for the rest of the day. The experience would be different if one lies under the instrument while it is being played. And that's exactly what a pianist in America has done. Colin Huggins, a busker, wheels his grand piano more than a half a mile from a mini storage to New York's Washington Square Park. He lets people lie down under the instrument and feel the vibrations from the claviers in their bodies. Colin says he wants to help people recover emotionally from the intense disconnect they had faced during COVID lockdowns.
I've always wanted to accommodate feelings in the best way possible, and I want to do it with music, and this is the best way I figure out how to do it. Maybe someday I'll figure out a way to do it even better, and I won't need to push this piano here. But as of now, this is the best I've got.
New York was one of the hardest hit cities by COVID in the U.S. Like other places, the major city imposed lockdowns and tough curbs to contain the virus. Despite that, Colin continued playing on the streets, frequently to an audience of zero. He says he strongly believes that everything will be okay.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, salam and peace to all of you who are listening to today's special from IRIB English Radio. Our topic is the Shia of Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him.
Inna fil jannati nahran laban. Inna fil jannati nahran.
Today, Sunday, is the 20th of Shawwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 1st of Khordad, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 22nd of May, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As usual, we choose a verse from the Holy Quran for blessings, our program, and of course, learning an interesting point. For today, we choose chapter Isra, verse 71. Let's listen to it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Yawma nad'u kulla unasin bi'imamihim. فَمَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَقْرَؤُونَ كِتَابَهُمْ وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ فَتِيلًا.
Mention, O Muhammad, the day we will call forth every people with their record of deeds. Then whoever is given his record in his right hand, those will read their records, and injustice will not be done to them, even as much as a thread inside the date seed.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In interpretation of this verse in Islamic sources, there are numerous quotations introduced, all of which enlightened thoroughly the meaning of the verse, indicating that the purpose of this verse is imamate or leadership. Imam Ali ibn Musa Reza, peace be upon him, said, "On that day, every nation will be called along with its contemporary imam or leader, and the book of their Lord, as well as the course of practice of their prophet."
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. كَمَا صَلَّيْتَ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَعَلَى آلِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِنَّكَ حَمِيدٌ مَجِيدٌ.
This is today's special. We are speaking about who are the Shias. As for the Shia after the martyrdom of Imam Ali, they followed the leadership of his son Imam Hassan, and after him his brother Imam al-Hussein, and the subsequent nine imams who were the descendants of Hussein. They followed them on the firm basis of evidence in the Noble Quran and the tradition of the Prophet Muhammad, who explicitly repeated on many occasions that he, the Prophet, would be followed by 12 imams and that they would all be from the tribe of Quraysh. Therefore, Shiism can be termed as the following of the Noble Quran and the tradition of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, as conveyed by his family, whom he appointed that are Ahlul Bayt. After the Prophet Muhammad, the Shia followed the 12 divinely ordained imams as successors of the Prophet Muhammad. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin astain. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with certain definitions and characteristics of typical Shi'i people as formulated by the sixth infallible Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes those people who are inattentive to the needs of other people. So according to the instructions of the sixth infallible Imam, Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, being attentive to other people, to the needs of other people, I mean, in Shi'i communities, everybody is expected to be sensitive to the needs of other people. And when viewed from this perspective, it can be found out that it has other, I mean, overtones or other implications. These needs cannot be limited to only financial needs. I mean, any kind of need, educational need, or need for seeking knowledge, or need for example, reaching a better lifestyle, and so on. And also, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam instructed Ibn Jandab, I mean, his companion, to inform other people, other Shi'i communities, other Shi'i people, in that people are expected to consider piety, religious piety, and being sensitive to the needs of other people. And I mean, no Shi'i individual has the least right to wrong other people. لَيْسَ مِنْ شِعَتِنَا مَنْ يَظْلِمُ النَّاسِ. Anybody who wrongs other people, who commits any crime against other people, cannot be regarded to belong to the Muslim community.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
It's a good time to look at the characteristics of a true Shia. It has been narrated from Muhammad ibn Ismail from his father that he said, "I was with Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam when Abu Basir, one of his followers, entered our company. He was breathing heavily. When the Imam turned towards him and asked him what was troubling him, he stated that he was on the verge of leaving this world, but worse than all of this, he was worried about what his state. The Imam said to him, 'Why are you speaking like this when you have the honor of being classified as a Shia?' At this point, the Imam went on to list the greatness and reasons why one who is a Shia should be proud. Continuing on, the Imam alayhi salam then said, 'O Abu Basir, surely Allah has spoken about you, or Shia, in the Quran when he said, "Surely over my servants no authority shall you have, O Satan." From the Holy Quran, chapter 15, verse 42. "And verily I swear that Allah has not intended any other servants of his in this verse except the Imams and their Shias and followers." Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin Nabiyil Ummi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Welcome for Knowing About a Life Lesson. Source of Arrogance. Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, said, "No one boasts to other unless he harbors a feeling of inferiority in himself. Recent psychological and psychoanalytic research has proved that the arrogance and boasting is nothing more than an inferiority complex. Those who suffer from it resort to the practice of magnifying themselves artificially to compensate for their deficiencies. By doing so, they only add to their inferiority and dislike in the eyes of their community. So clearly evident is this from the Imam's saying, "The faithful people are always modest before others due to their internal dignity."
And the school of Ahlul Bayt is based on justice. Allah is just. I am Shia because this is the school of thought that truly proves to me God is just. وَالْعَدْلُ أَنْ لَا تَتَّهِمَ The Imam alayhi salam says, don't put any blame on God. Look at others, they put the blame on God. After Jamal, when Aisha was going back, they told her, why did you do this? Didn't you know this is Ali ibn Abi Talib? The Prophet had so much respect for him. Why did you fight him? She put the blame on God. She says, this is qadr. Qadrullah kana muqaddaran. This is the predestination. God has destined it. It's not my fault. God has destined everything. You see? You see how sometimes they have this view of predestination, but not in the school of Ahlul Bayt. In the school of Ahlul Bayt, yes, Allah plans many things. But at the end of the day, you're responsible for your actions. Don't ever put blame on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the first reason why I'm Shia, because it gives me the complete understanding of what Tawheed is. Secondly, the second reason why I'm Shia is because the school of Ahlul Bayt gives me the best, most pristine image of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi, the greatest creation of God. Compare what we have from Ahlul Bayt and compare to what others have in their books. In my school, the first thing Allah created was the light of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. He is the greatest of Allah's creations. He is infallible. The angels learned from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. But then look at some other schools of thought. Not all schools of thought believe that he was infallible. Look at Bukhari. Bukhari tells you the Prophet would stand and he would relieve himself. Is that the Prophet I want to believe in? Bukhari tells you the Prophet was mashur. He came under the spell of black magic, of sihr. Such that Aisha says he didn't know what he was doing. He thought he did some things when he did not. Is that a Prophet I'm going to follow? And then the same Bukhari tells you from Abu Huraira that the Prophet once said, أَيُّمَا مُسْلِمٍ سَبَبْتُهُ Any Muslim that I curse, right? That I slander, oh Allah, any Muslim, any mu'min, any true believer that I slander, make this as a means of forgiveness for them on the day of judgment. Maybe I will slander some people, haram, they don't deserve it, but I don't know. Ya Allah, make that as a means for their forgiveness. Is that a prophet I'm going to follow? Who's going to slander believers? This is in Bukhari. And many, many other things that you find in Bukhari, my dear brothers and sisters, and these other schools of thought. I am a Shia because I'm honored not to believe in these things. I'm honored to believe in a messenger, in a prophet who's pure, chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the second reason why I'm Shia. The third reason why I'm a Shia is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi gave us a recipe. You want to achieve salvation? You want to avoid deviation? The Prophet famously stated in Hadith al-Thiqlain, I leave behind me the book of Allah and what? My family, my Ahlul Bayt. If you hold on to them, تَمَسَّكْتُمْ بِهِمَا, you shall never go astray.
That was all for today's special. Inshallah, we will speak more about this interesting topic, and that is, who is a true Shia? Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we meet you soon. So may Allah bless all of you, and we leave you in Allah's protection. Have a nice time. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, علي الإمامي
لفت إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لفت إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.